Welcome to the Sportscast, June 30th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us 24/7. Visit us on thesportscast.net and also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Mexico is doing great in the Gold Cup. USA had a little bit of a scuffle with Jamaica, but they came back to beat 10-6-0. But Mexico's looking good from all these top three CONCACAF teams. You can say Canada, Mexico, USA. Canada's actually going bankrupt soon, so we'll see what happens in this tournament. And join us all the way from Portlandia, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Good to be back, and it's also good to see Mexico thriving, finally. It's been a while.
That's what Mexico does. They suck for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they start winning again. But it is the CONCACAF and Gold Cup, so it's an easy way to come back.
Right. Yeah, some easy lower down opponents in the FIFA ranking you could unleash a beating on.
Would you say Mexico has an easier group than the U.S., or the U.S. should have no excuses of drawing Jamaica?
I would say it's probably about the same. I don't think I don't think one is more difficult than the other. It's pretty even, I would say, but some people would say otherwise, but I think it's pretty much the same. And we did say Jamaica was probably the team that they were going to struggle with the most. And for Mexico, it'll probably be Honduras. So,
and that was a 4-0 win.
Or it was supposed to be Honduras.
And then we thought Haiti did too, but Haiti just beat Qatar. Anyone could beat Qatar.
Yeah, anyone. You can get a America Samoa soccer team, who's like one of the lowest ranked teams in FIFA. Could probably beat them.
Which there's a movie coming out, I think, of Thomas Rogan. I believe he coached that team, and they're coming out with a documentary on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'll have to check it out.
So I don't know how far they made it. I think because they were covering them in qualifiers, but I don't think they made – I mean, they didn't make the no World Cup because we would have saw them in the
top. Right.
Either they beat some major team or something happened, but it's coming out on Amazon. They're not a sponsor to the show. So let's go to yesterday's match against Haiti. There was no goals in the first half. It was 0-0. So Francisco was probably getting nervous about halftime. But then...
A little.
But then in the 46th minute of the second half, Henry Martin, which he's... supposed to be a star for Mexico, or the future star, scored. Then an own goal a little bit later on, 10 minutes later, Ricardo Ade scored an own goal for Mexico. So that became 2-1. Then Jax cut the score in half, 2-1, and the 78th minute. But Santiago Jimenez, another star for Mexico, supposed to be the star, scored, made it 3-1. To solidify that win. Your thoughts, Francisco? First half was tight, but Mexico came through.
Yeah, it was pretty tight in the first half. It started with some back and forth, which was nice to see some action. Both teams just basically all out attack, but then probably 30 minutes in and started to settle down a little bit, and Mexico started playing possession and playing with the ball a little bit more, passing it around, which I like to see that. I like to see the possession and the players being comfortable. Yeah, there you go. A little Barcelona style. Being comfortable playing the ball around and looking for those gaps in the opponent's defense. So I think this 11 right here is probably what he's going to go with as far as the starting 11 for the whole tournament. Cycle? Yeah, I think so. I I'm indifferent about Henry Martin. I think he's average to me. Like, I don't see him as being
FYI, he was a starter in the World Cup. So, FYI.
Yeah. And we didn't really have many other options, but I think with the future here with Santi Jimenez, I think it's looking pretty bright. Had a great season over there with Feyenoord in the Dutch league, and so I think it's
not many Mexicans go foreign,
right? Also, Orbelin Pineda also out there in what's the league he's in?
Which player again?
Pineda or Orbelin.
I'll pull it up on the hot mob. That should appear in seconds. When I click on it, nothing happens. He's somewhere unclickable. Oh, no. He plays he's for unclickable. AEK Athens in Greece.
In Greece. There we go. He just got voted player of the season over there. So,
which is not that hard to do.
They're like, oh, there's a foreign player in our league. Okay, let's vote him as the star of the season. But another thing that I really like to see is, and this is something that I've been calling out for as far as the starting lineup for Mexico since on the counter days, which is Edson Álvarez playing at center back, which is his natural position. I know at Ajax he's been playing at center defensive mid, but his natural position has been center back, and he does great there. He's got a great possession, good handles, very confident with the ball on his feet. He can pass out the back, and we saw him doing a lot of that. A lot of passes going straight from him to either Antuna or Pineda or Luis Romo so that they can distribute the ball to the front three. So I've always called for that. I don't know why he would play center defensive mid. Tata Martino would play him there at center defensive. Never even tried him at center back. Same with Coca, if he even started him. So that's why I'm very high on the manager right now, on Jimmy Lozano.
Yeah, so far
I think he's doing all the right moves.
Position. He's looking good for
the Yeah, I mean, I would say a little conservative based on that. So I hope he doesn't sacrifice, the strategies to beat the opponent just so that he could, satisfy the higher ups and be like, this is the team that you should be starting. So I think he just needs to keep doing that. Go out of the standard, which has been set, which is play the players that are in Europe, play the starting 11 should always be the veterans, the players that have been there. It's like, no, play the best team, the team that's going to win. And so far that's what he's been doing. So I'm happy for that. And I hope that he stays. I think he's doing a great job. And I think for the future of Mexico, I think he's going to be good. I've heard a couple of interviews, specifically one with Edson Álvarez, where he said that he likes, he feels more confident when there's a Mexican manager. So I think going forward, the higher ups over there at the FMF should take that into consideration and have a Mexican coach from here on out. I think it worked in the past and it's working right now. So I think that's a good strategy going forward for them to consider.
They did a study, and I don't remember who did the study in particular, but I heard foreign coaches don't do well in country teams versus the domestic coach. I remember that Swedish coach, that coach from Mexico back in, I think, 2004, was it? And he didn't do well.
I think it was Ericsson or something like that.
I think so. Ericsson.
Sven Goran.
Yeah.
There was like this whole, that was also when they were trying to change like a couple, or they were trying to copy, I guess, or do like the whole foreign thing and pass it down through all the different levels in the under 23 and all that. They were like, we're gonna stop doing what we've been doing traditionally, the Mexican style. We're gonna copy these teams in Europe or these international teams, and go with something different. And that's when they started bringing in foreigners, also not just in coaching positions, but in the technical positions as well.
Yeah, and he just came, Eriksen came off coaching England, so he had some success there, and then he went to Mexico. I think he didn't even, I think he was there for 2 years, so he didn't even go to the World Cup with Mexico. And they got a Mexican coach. Another Mexican coach that I thought was good was Bora Moltanovic. I think he did well back in 1986.
Oh, yeah, that's way back. He didn't do too bad. I think he was there for that World Cup, right?
Yeah. For 86. And then the U.S. hired him afterwards in 1993, which I did okay. So it's a few foreign coaches who I thought did well, but it's not too many, which Brazil wants to do that. But eventually Ancelotti is going to stay in Madrid. I still hear rumors about Brazil still hiring him, but I don't think so. I think he sticks on with Madrid for another season at least. Antuna won the highest rating on Hot Mob. He had
the man of the match,
88% accurate passes. He plays for Cruz Azul, 25 years old, accurate long balls, 100%. That's pretty good. Your thoughts on this player?
Yeah, I think for myself, saw him at he was also at Chivas before he was got sold to Cruz Azul, so got to see a lot of him. He was young and a promising player when he was at Chivas. He was still developing, had that speed, and I think he played 3 seasons there. I like the way his play style. You know, I like wingers that are fast, that have passing, that have finishing, and that is the thing that he lacked was finishing. So eventually, that's why he got cut from Chivas, because he missed a lot of good opportunities, a lot of open shots that were crucial and crucial games. But this is a player that I like him, and as far as club, when he's playing in Liga MX for club, he kind of, I don't want to say he isn't as good, but I feel like that's kind of where he lacks a little bit. But when he puts the Mexico jersey on, I think he puts all his cojones in there and he plays well. But he is a player though that gets made fun of a lot, especially on Reddit. Liga MX subreddit. He's people are not a fan of him on there. Yeah. I gotta use the regular Reddit website, because third party apps are getting shut down. But
everyone's charging API left and right.
Right, and so yeah, there's probably endless compilations of him where he fails to control the ball, and like there's a couple where he like. Not in this tournament, but recent, where he like, I think it was during the friendlies, where he was like trying to bring it down with his chest, and like he was by the sideline, and it just goes out. So there's quite a few compilations of him doing little dumb things like that. But I think if he's playing well, start him, and he's showing that he's not gonna listen to the critics out there and take it to heart. I think he's a player that faces adversity, and if people talk down on him, he's gonna take that as constructive criticism instead of putting himself down.
Before we move on from this match, key points. Francisco brought it out. The ball possession, Mexico did excellent, 65% to 35% of Haiti. Total shots 32. That was a lot towards goal. So good job there for Mexico. Big chances 5. And full offense of Mexico. It was probably their best match. Mexico also thrashed 4-0 against Honduras. So Mexico's having a good tournament so far. They play Qatar next. Do you want to see the roster kind of different, or you want to see the same starting roster, or you want to see some substitutes and see what you guys have on the bench?
I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of rotation, especially for to rest, you know, for the knockout rounds. I think it'd be smart for him to do that. I want to see a little bit more of Santiago Jimenez, so I think it would be the right call to start him in this Qatar game and give Henry Martin a little bit of rest. I think Alvarado, I think we need to see a little bit more of him. He's also a Chivas player, which he used to play at Cruz Azul. So there was kind of like a swap there when Antuna went to Cruz Azul and Alvarado went from Cruz Azul to Chivas. It was kind of a swap, but they ended up buying the players out. But I think seeing some of these young guns out here, we haven't seen Diego Lainez at all. So, you know, that's another fast, quick, Messi-esque, if you will, player.
You mentioned Tata and Lionel Messi already in the first 15 minutes of the show.
Yep. And then they'll be united over there at Inter Miami now, too. I
can't believe it. Yeah.
They made it happen somehow. Where's Inter Miami getting all this money from?
Who knows? I know Apple. I heard Beckham's some MLS clubs are putting money in, too, I heard.
Oh, the whole league is just putting in money. Like, yeah, we need all this, the attention we can get right now.
And his first match will be against Cruz Azul.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's
for the League's Cup.
League's Cup. Oh, that's hilarious. He's going to be beating all some Mexican teams.
That should be interesting. Well, there you have it. 6 points for Mexico. Qatar should be a win. Let's look at the group stage for group B for Mexico. They got 6 points. Haiti, 3 points. Qatar, 1. Honduras, 1. There's no third place teams. Only the top two teams of each group make it out of the first round. Let's look at group A. Actually, let's go down to group C. Martinique, 3 points. Panama, 3. Costa Rica, 0. El Salvador, 0. Obviously, this is just the first round. I don't know. We'll see Martinique. We'll find out. Group D, Guatemala is looking good. Got 3 points. Canada, who's going through a lot of inside issues, is at 1 point. Guadeloupe, 1 point. That's who they drew. That's not good. I don't think Canada is going to have a good tournament.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them, especially with the bankruptcy thing looming in the back of the minds of the players. And I mean, for me, it's kind of indifferent. Like, you got to, as far as international team, like, play and pay, you got to win to get paid for your international team. You know, it should be an honor to wear your country's jersey. So getting paid should be the least of your worries. But, you know, it's not just the players, you know, managers and the coaching staff and all of the people, physical therapy and all that. They got to get paid, obviously. So we'll see what happens with that. Nothing is free. That's right.
Yeah, and they're also going to be hosting the World Cup in 3 years. So I hope to get things together before that. Let's go into Group A, obviously the other big group of this tournament. USA is up 4 points, Jamaica 4, Trinidad Tobago 3, St. Kitts and Nevis 0. We talked about USA and Jamaica. It was a draw, but Jamaica's a really good, legit team. USC beat St. Kitts 5-0, 6-0. 3 goals by Jesus Ferreira, who plays for Dallas FC. A goal by Milovic, 2 goals, and Reynolds, 14. I want to touch on Zendejas a little bit. I was doing some research, and obviously he switched allegiance from Mexico to the U.S. It's interesting because no one knows where he was born. Some people say Mexico. Some people say Texas. Was he kind of like wanted by Mexico, or was he kind of in the gray area? Hey, we do want him, but if the U.S. wants him, it's okay. Like, what have you heard about this player, Zendejas?
If I remember correctly, I think he's the player that Mexico got punished for, right?
Yes, he got punished. He did play for Mexico.
Yeah, so I think the story is that he still was registered with the U.S. as far as his FIFA player card registration, mm-hmm. and all that. And leading up to they were friendly, so it wasn't a big deal. That's why the punishment wasn't that great.
wasn't cap time,
or wasn't the punishment wasn't that big of a deal. It was just like a couple of games and some money. But yeah, I think he was told by the Mexican Federation to apply for the new to register through FIFA as to switch his allegiance, and I guess he didn't do that. But it wasn't communicated to, I think, Tata Martino at the time, to the coaching staff. So that's why he was still put into those games. And then later on, it came out that he hadn't switched over. So there was some miscommunication there as far as that's what the media was told. I don't know what the real story is. But yeah, I think Mexico did. They were looking at him, and I think he's a America player, right? In Liga MX. Yeah.
Club Football America.
Yeah. So I think from what I've heard is that he was born in Mexico. But
there's a lot of people that say he's born in Texas. Who knows who to believe?
Yeah. So I don't know exactly. Maybe
a border town.
He got. Yeah, maybe his mom got pregnant in Mexico and then had him in Texas.
Which happened.
That's definitely happened. But yeah, who knows? Yeah, there's rumors back and forth as far as where he was born. So who knows what the real story is there. But yeah, you're only allowed to switch, only to do allegiance switches one time for one FIFA. Time, yeah. So. If he was to switch, you can't switch back. So I think he's staying with the US. I think that's been made clear. So
do you think Mexico wish he was in the Mexico team, or like,
I mean, I don't think it's like a, you know, oh, we're, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to be the best team if he's not there. I mean, if there was if he's a good player and there's a chance for him to play for Mexico, I mean, they would take it and try him. You know, obviously they wanted him if they went as far as to put him in the game and he, you know, to affect the national team in that way. But this just came to my head. Maybe he's a secret agent of the U.S. men's national team, and they did it on purpose to try to screw over Mexico.
So Mexico. They kicked out. Well, there you have it. My thoughts on the U.S. performance. Of course, Jamaica was tough. They have a good front line. They did well against St. Kitts, but anyone could beat St. Kitts. But, you know. You want to have a confidence builder. We play Trinidad and Tobago next, which they're a little bit tough, but Trinidad and Tobago does have a bone to chew on because they got 3 points. So they'll be playing. Excuse me. Hold on. Sorry. The dust particles around here. So Trinidad does have a bone to bite with against the US. US sits comfortable. Well, not comfortably at 4 points. So USA has to win. And it might come down to goal differential too. Jamaica plays against St. Kitts next. So this might come down to a very critical third round of games in the first round. What do you think is going to happen in this group?
In that group, I mean, this is Group A, right?
Group A, USA, Jamaica, TNT, and St. Kitts and Nevis.
I think, it'll probably be Trinidad and Tobago. That's what I'm going with.
Trinidad's going to come out in like the top two?
They're going to pull it off. Jamaica's going to fall on their flat on their face You know, they came out strong against the U.S., but I think they've used up all their gas there. He used up all their juice, and they're going to fall flat on their face.
We'll see what happens. I still think USA will beat Trinidad, and Jamaica will beat St. Kitts, but it's going to come down to code differential. So we'll see how many goals Jamaica scores against St. Kitts. And if USA wins the group, then they don't won't have to be worried about Mexico until the final. So if USA makes it that far, we'll see what happens. More to know about this USA team. They seem a little bit weaker than there was back in the, and I think it was 2021, the last Gold Cup. So, but now seeing Jesus Ferreira scoring, that kind of gives me some confidence. But a lot of young players. This guy, Cal, is very young as well. I think he's, 19, under 20. And there's another one player that did not do that good. It was Tolkien, but he wasn't starting. But Zendejas had an 8.0. Ferreira had 9.6 because of all the goals. So looking for what we have, you know, that's something that the U.S. has, a deep bench, deeper than Mexico, but no pun intended. So we'll see what happens. But Mexico's looking good with their new coach. So this might be, if he wins the Gold Cup, might as well give him the permanent position.
Yeah, I agree. I think he will play it by ear, and we'll see how he does after the Gold Cup and the games leading up into the World Cup. But I think it's, like I said, we're already qualified for the World Cup, but we got to use that time wisely to prepare the team and not just, you know, cruise and go vacation mode until the World Cup is here and wait until the last month to figure out your squad. I think going forward, we need to figure it out and get Guillermo Ochoa out of there.
Yeah, you're still not convinced that, like, you guys should just move on from him.
Yeah, I mean, even in the media, like, they're still like, they're being like, oh, he's a great leader, you know, his experience and all this. I'm like, I don't see him as a great leader. I don't see that in him. I don't know why they give him the captain armband. Just because he's old, I think that's the only reason they gave it to him.
Yeah, bringing that veteran leadership, but obviously you guys have some other goalkeepers that you guys can be looking at. Breaking news, it's kind of breaking news, actually, not really. Looks like Christian Pulisic has agreed to join AC Milan. But Chelsea needs to accept the fee. So United States international Christian Pulisic has an agreement in principle on a long-term deal to leave Chelsea and move to Serie A giants AC Milan. However, the clubs have yet to agree on the transfer fee. Pulisic, 24, is willing to take a substantial pay cut to make the transfer work, the source said, with only minor details still to be worked out before a full agreement on personnel can be reached. I don't know. I really want him to stay in the Premier League. Serie A feels like a step down. But if he gets more playing time, I guess it wouldn't be that bad.
Yep. I agree with that, but obviously I'm a little biased, and you know, I say he should go back to Germany. That would be a better move in my opinion, but hey, AC Milan's making moves. They want to be a top European club again. And if they think this is what's going to make them better in Europe, then go for it. I'm you don't want to be asking me about Christian Pulisic. So
I know.
I'm just going
to
say,
I was hesitant to talk about it, but it's okay. It's okay.
I mean, whatever they end up paying for him, if they do agree, I mean, I'm just going to say that, you know, he's, you know, highly rated. Some people say he's one of the best players in the last, you know, 20 years for the U.S. But, you know, every player that's, you know, there's a reason why players that get hyped up, you know, they see their demise. And I'm not saying that's what's happening to him, because he's obviously kept his level of play up. Although he is very injury prone, I think that's, you know, something he needs to work on. And
problem. Yeah,
Italian league is a very physical league. Defensively, it's probably the most solid. Defensively, the teams in Italy are very, they rough you up a lot. And physically, you know, you're going to get, you know, stepped on, you're going to get tripped, you're going to get fouled a lot of the time. And especially with the way that Christian Pulisic plays, very quick, you know, fast winger, those are the type of players that are always getting kicked and whatnot in the Italian league. So we'll see how he fares down there. I mean, not to say that the Premier League isn't a physical league as well, but it's a little bit different, more fast paced. So we'll see. Maybe that's kind of the type of player that Italian teams are looking for, because they're, you know, it's a little bit slower league, more of a possession and whatnot. So changing it up with a player like this would probably be a good strategy. You know, AC Milan's been in a rebuild phase for a while, and I think they're getting there. I think they're right about to get over that hump where they're going to be taken seriously again. So I think a couple moves like this, I think that they would be solid once again.
Bring back the 90s glory days. AC Milan finished in the top four in the Champions League this past season, so they're definitely are ambitious to get, you know, deep or get one of those top spots in the Champions League in Europe and also in the Serie A. Yunus Musa, another American, he's officially with AC Milan, so he's signed. Tim Weah, another American player, he is in Juventus now. He went to Turin. There was a huge news, a lot of newspapers were covering it. Obviously, he's known, you know, more for his dad that won the World Player of the Year back in 1995 before the phenomenal Ronaldo did. So a lot of Americans making splash, a lot more European, a whole lot of Americans playing in Europe now. And we could see, Francisco, a U.S. squad with not too many MLS players. So that could come into play in the 26th World Cup. And of course, Greg Berhalter is the coach. He'll be started in September. And the friendlies, they announced it. It's against like Oman and Uzbekistan. So I'm not really looking forward to those friendlies.
Nice.
I don't know why, but we'll see. But anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I mean, if you want to keep up on transfers, I think there's plenty of places for people to go. There's just so many rumors, but once things are made official, I think there's plenty of coverage for it. But yeah, lots of players making moves, a lot of US players in Europe. Is it me, or
Fabrizio is like the only guy that knows everything?
Yeah, I think he's probably the best. He gets about 95% of the rumors and transfers called, and he predicts, or he doesn't predict, but he's got sources in pretty much every league and every place around the world. So if he'd probably be the best as far as transfer news goes. And yeah, pretty much everything he knows things like 3-4 days a week ahead of time before they happen. So
he probably can't talk about it till it's officially done. So that's something that, you know, a lot of these moves, even here, you know, stateside, NBA, NFL, there's going to be rumors, but until it's officially done, they can announce it. I heard a rumor. This is Real Madrid related here. Valverde to Liverpool. And there was a article in the Uruguayan media and the Nacional that were saying that they're hearing Valverde to Liverpool. What do you think about that?
I mean, I haven't heard anything about that. I don't think it's going to happen because Madrid are never going to let him go. Unless he goes for free, that's the only way he's leaving. But if anything, they're going to lock him down to a longer period on his contract. So I think a lot of teams are looking at him, but Madrid is not going to let him go. So, you know, they could make offers, but I don't think any price right now is gonna, you know, bring them out of there. Liverpool have been making moves. I mean, they got McAllister, which they were seeking him out for a while, and I think that's, they should be fine with that. And then the team that they're trying to build or rebuild, I guess, with Klopp. But yeah, even if they offer 200 million, I don't think Real Madrid would let him go right now.
Interesting. Florentino will keep him. Obviously, yeah. Madrid's been signing a lot of domestic Spanish players, I've noticed. And the one that's still pending internationally is Mbappe. We don't know what's going to happen there. That might be a little bit more complex. And like Francisco and I talked about last week, you know, obviously business-wise, it'd be wait for him to, it'll be best for him, for Madrid to wait till next season, because it would be a free transfer rather than gonna pay, you know, PSG something. So we'll see where that goes. It's still early. We got till August, end of August, and we'll find out what happens with the Madrid and Mbappe saga, which I really do expect him that he'll end up in Madrid. I really do. And he'll take a lot of different roles. So he'll take over the Benzema role and Ronaldo's. It's kind of like a mix of both. So cool.
I agree.
All right, let's look into predictions. Tonight, Martinique versus Panama. Who do you got?
I'm gonna go safe on this bet. I'm gonna go with Panama.
Panama it is. Both have 3 points, so we'll see where that goes in this group. El Salvador versus Costa Rica. They both have 0.0 points.
Yep. This is a do or die match for both teams. So I'm going to go with Costa Rica because they need a little redemption in this tournament. So I'm going to go with them.
Tomorrow, Cuba versus Guadeloupe. And Guadeloupe has 1 point.
Yeah, I think they got lucky with that 1 point. but I mean, Cuba hasn't really showed much of anything either.
Cuba is a baseball
I'm gonna
country.
Say, yeah, I'm gonna say a draw in this game.
A draw,
it's gonna go to a draw.
Down. Okay, Guatemala versus Canada. This could be a significant game. For the group D.
Let's see. I think Canada slipped up a little bit, but I think they'll be able to regroup themselves and get all the bankruptcy stuff out of their minds, out of their heads. So I'm gonna go with Canada here for the win.
And also Canada, there's something to do with their jerseys. They had to get, like, I don't think it's Nike that sponsors their jerseys, some local one. I don't know. Anyways, Sunday, Group A, Jamaica versus St. Kitts. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with a draw.
A draw. Wow, that'd be massive for the U.S. And later on, USA versus Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, this is my my hot take for the day. I'm gonna go with Trinidad and Tobago for the win.
No
over the US.
Way that the whole world will sink because of that. And then luckily USA will get to the second round, because you're saying no, it would be, yeah, that means USA could be eliminated.
Yeah, yeah. It could be them out.
Jamaica will make it out with 5 points after losing against St. Kitts.
Yeah, it's going to be a close one. So we'll see what happens. If Trinidad and Tobago can pull it off, that means they're through.
I got the U.S. winning Trinidad and Tobago. It won't be a 4-0 win, but it'll definitely be, let's say, 3-0 max.
Not 4-0, 3-0.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, Trinidad is a little bit difficult than St. Kitts, and they're not as good as Jamaica either. So they're that happy medium, third place. So anyways, Gold Cup continues this weekend. For purposes, and then after the Gold Cup is League Cup. That's where Messi comes in. So they hired Tata Martino. They got Busquets in Inter Miami Would that be enough for that team to boost and, you know, and just, you know, become not the best team in the MLS, but become, you know, competitive?
Well, definitely make them competitive, because they're in a lot better place now than they were before. If anything, they might be able to just go the whole season without even starting Messi, and just that confidence that the players have got from having Messi on their team, that might just be enough for them to make it to the conference final or something. But yeah, I think Messi and Busquets, I think individually, if Busquets played and Messi didn't play, they would probably still be the same team. But if Messi plays with along with Busquets, I think that's definitely going to completely change the team. But it'll be interesting to see how they play. I'm imagining that they're just going to try to feed the ball to Messi and just let him take it and run it up the field as much as possible.
Well, and they do have Josef Martinez. He's the Venezuelan, and Tata Martino has worked with Josef Martinez back in Atlanta. So there might be, but at the same time, Josef hasn't done much this season, but it could come into fruition. We'll see what happens. So there's like there's some options in the bench as well. So July 21st against Cruz Azul, according to Francisco, it will not be an easy match for Inter Miami.
It'll probably be just like Mexico's, you know, game against Haiti, 0-0 in the first half, and then second half starts and immediately the goals are just come. So Cruz Azul better be ready.
Yeah, they gotta be ready. The benchmark is the Haiti match against Mexico is the benchmark. That's a good model.
Right.
All right. Well, there you have it. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you what is the official beer of the Mexican national team?
Yeah, for all your soccer questions or just any questions in general related to soccer, banter, all of that, you can reach me on my Twitter at FranciscoBCP. That's the best place to reach me. And send me some questions and let's do some banter, US fans especially. I know I have some hot takes there, so let's debate it like civil human beings.
You know, yesterday Mexico used the Mexican women's jerseys as their main jersey.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I was surprised by that.
Dots, or I was like the dots, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, because I had seen the jerseys like a month ago on Twitter, because they got retweeted by the men's account. But I thought that it was just going to be a jersey for the women's, but apparently they busted it out. It was probably just that popular sales wise. So Adidas was like, "Hey, we'll make them for the men's club. Why not?
Why not? Let's
anything that sells.
Great design, great sell. Now." Has Adidas been your favorite Mexican jersey sponsor of all time, or did you like Nike? Or I think you guys had Umbro for a bit. But who's been your favorite sponsor for the Mexican national team, apparel wise?
I would probably go with Adidas. I think it's just they do tend to stay a little conservative with the designs, but I think when they do break out from that with the third kits. I think they do a pretty good job, but it's just such a, you know, simple and easy design. You know, their logo and the three stripes, it just goes well with soccer. And, you know, just like everybody recognizes the Nike swoosh, like, you know, you see the three stripes and you know immediately what it is. So I think Adidas is my favorite.
I think in 1994 World Cup, Mexico had like a different shirt sponsor. I forgot who it was, but it wasn't like one of like the big three, like the Adidas, the Pumas, and the Nike. It was someone else. It might have been local.
Yeah, I think it was. No, I think it was. It started with an S. It's like Cell.
They don't exist anymore.
No, they definitely do not exist. It's probably one of these new. They got bought out, or they it turned got turned into a.
Turn to
a different
it's ABBA,
a different ABBA company. Sport. ABBA was one of them.
Yeah, no, hold on. Was that the oh no, sorry, that's 1998. My bad. No, yeah, they did have Umbro. It was Umbro.
91, 94. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Umbro. So
ABA Sports, Garcia's, Atletico was the one I was thinking. It didn't start with
this. But Umbro like was big time back in the 1994 World Cup. Like they had Brazil, they had Colombia, they had Mexico, and like anyone else. But I know Adidas had a majority, and the Nike was just getting into the scene. Like they were not into soccer much until later.
You see the first kid supplier from 78-70, Levi's. Was sponsored. Oh, Levi
sponsored Mexico.
Yep, that was the first jersey.
This is a cool kit from Mexico. The white jersey with the red. So, and of course they made the cool.
It's like Jorge the Campos
jersey.
Oh yeah, he got his own unique jersey because he liked wearing all those bright colors.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. You can reach us at SportsCast1. On Twitter or the Sportscast One on Instagram. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. Ask us about the Mexican jerseys, which one that we like. But of course, we're US fans first, and Nike's been dominant since the 1996 or 95. Yeah, they're going to stick with Nike forever, apparently. Anyways, wow, Gold Cup coming to fruition. Still a couple more matches this weekend. Looking forward to it. I like the Gold Cup. It's smooth, it's mellow. You know, but it'll get exciting towards the end.
Yep, it'll come back. It'll come back around. And
by the way, next
to get to the knockout rounds.
Next year, be bigger. Copa America. Can't beat that.
Oh, yeah, definitely cannot beat that.
All right, Francisco, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me.